As an entrepreneur, that's what you're called when you don't have a job. And so, you know, over these next 4 weeks, I want us to see that God is an entrepreneur and he's always pushing us to pursue new frontiers. And if you're having a bit of a difficult time wrapping your mind around that, or that sounds a bit odd to you, let me pray for us and just ask God to kind of open us up to this reality. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into this place. And I thank you that I get to talk about things that I get really, really passionate about. And so, God, I just pray that our time tonight would not be wasted, because you do not waste time. But, God, that you would give us something that we need. We may not even know that we need it. We may have walked in here not knowing that there's something new on the horizon. But, God, I just pray that you would put that on the front of our mind tonight, whatever that new thing is that you're calling us to. And, God, I just pray that you would give us new insights. And thank you, God, that you organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. Some of us here already, we might be thinking, man, this is not going to apply to me. I'm not an entrepreneur. You are. Look at what it says right there. It says any enterprise. All right, so that means if you're a part of a community organization, that's an enterprise. If you call yourself a part of Crosspoint, you're part of an enterprise. All right, your body's an enterprise. I mean, you have a physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, social capacity to who you are. That's an enterprise that you want to continue to grow and develop. If you're dating someone, I mean, that's, you know, your current marriage or your family, I mean, that's an enterprise you want to grow. Certain character traits that you say, you know, I want to develop in these traits. I want to become more resilient in my life. And so you begin to do things to build that into who you are. But see, you can't do that if you don't see that you're an entrepreneur, that you can actually experience new things. Now, I want to make sure as we start this series that we're not seeing entrepreneurship as just some cool, you know, cultural fad, because it has kind of been that, but I want us to see this is something that's close to the heart of God. In fact, 2 weeks from this weekend, you're going to be hearing from Josh Wagner, our new church planting partner, who's going to be starting a brand new church down in the Midtown Indianapolis area, Broad Ripple, this theme vision, kind of sharing with us what God has placed on their hearts, the new thing God is doing it financially, and even possibly some of us going with that initiative to help start it. And so make sure you're here 2 weeks from tonight. But tonight I want us to see that this whole idea of pursuing new things, this really is at the core identity of God. And so I want to take a bit of time right up front tonight to kind of walk us through how God himself is an entrepreneur, all right? How God is constantly doing new things. So big idea tonight, big idea is if you struggle with the new, you're going to struggle with God. All right, if you struggle with new disciplines, if you struggle with new teachings or learning new things or trying to implement new ways, you always want to go back to the old, you're going to struggle with some of the things that God is constantly pushing us to, at least with the being that we see recorded in the books of the, in the pages of the Bible. All right, so the very first thing, that God's doing new things all the time. All right, so I want to give us kind of a 30,000 foot view of some of the things, just a quick run through in the Old Testament into the New. First thing we see in the Bible, it starts off with God creating a new earth. Right? That's what happens at the very beginning. God creates a new earth. It's an entrepreneurial endeavor. I mean, and it's not only a new planet that he starts, not only a new solar, but it's an entire universe and multiple universes. In fact, it's fascinating because when it comes to science, sometimes people see science and faith clashing with one another. I've never in my life seen anything that I've seen scientifically actually be in contradiction with the God that I've come to know and understand. Nothing. I mean, there's nothing that when the new discoveries are made that I go, oh, that bothers me. I actually see them working together. In fact, right now as we sit here, there are theoretical physicists who are saying, according to math and all these other things that I don't really understand, that there are actually infinite universes. There's probably new universes being created right now. Why is that? It's because God's a creator. I mean, take a look at how the Bible begins. The very first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God, what's the word there? Created. It says he created. He's an entrepreneur. You know, for many years growing up, I thought, man, we have one universe. I mean, this is all that there is. But mathematicians and people that are way, way smarter than me, I mean, they've been, you know, kind of realizing that there are infinite universes. And in fact, there's some probably being created right now. And again, that doesn't bother me. In fact, you know, I when I understand God as the creator, I go, yeah, that goes right in line with who God is. I mean, do you really think that God would be confined just to our universe? I mean, think about that. If God in all his vastness, I mean, you know what he'd do if he was confined to just our universe? He'd probably be like, boring. I mean, he'd be like, this is all because he's a creator. Another thing we see long after this, one of the earliest figures in the Bible, Abram, through Abram, God creates a new nation. It's the nation of Israel. In fact, here's what it says in Genesis 12. God comes to Abram and he says this. He says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. If you ever struggle with what is my purpose in this world, go back to Abram's, all right? This is kind of an overall purpose for all humankind, all right? Be a blessing. Just be a blessing to people. All right? That's why God created you. Abram's a wandering nomad. He and his wife Sarah, they don't have any kids. They are barren. They can't have any kids. They've tried, all right? And God comes to him and says, hey, I'm going to start a new nation, a whole group of people through you. In fact, your nation's going to be similar to the grains of sand on the beach next to the ocean. That's how vast it's going to be. And so Abram's like, what are you talking about? We can't even have a kid. But he follows God's lead and God's call, and he goes and achieves this. God achieves this through him. And Abram's name changes to Abraham. And you've heard of him, Father Abraham. He becomes the father of many. That's the definition of Abraham's name, or the father of nations. Because God created a nation, a new nation through him. You know, we see in the Bible that there are new journeys. In fact, if you have one of those, I'd call them one of the older Bibles, you know, the paper versions. I don't, how many of you like use paper versions? I've never even picked up a book in the last at least 5 or 7 years. I don't think I've read from a paper Bible in at least 7 years. I do it on my iPad. But if you were to go get a paper Bible, not the cheap ones that we have for free at Connection Point, which those are free and you can pick them up, but you know, like a leather bound, more expensive one, they have like colorful pages of maps in the back. And they're new journeys. In fact, this is one of the Apostle Paul's journeys. We can see all the new places that he went. Why? Because God calls his people to new journeys. He calls them to, you know, go to new places, create new promised lands, you know, break out of slavery and go to new places, to take his message to new places. Why? Because there are people that have never heard about Jesus. And so he says, I need my message there. God calls us to new songs. In fact, Psalm 144 says this. The psalmist writes, I will sing you a new song to you, O God. Do you realize that 9 times in the Bible, God says, I want a new song? Some of you are like, man, every time I come to Crosspoint, they got a new song. I mean, I don't even know half the stuff they sing in here. I think that's cool. I think God wants it that way. Because he says, you never see, say, hey, just keep singing the old song. He says, sing me a new song. I mean, do you ever get tired of like America's Top 40 playing over and over on your favorite radio station? And it's like after 6 months, you're like, enough already. Give me a new song. How do you think God feels after like 100 years or 1,000 years? He's like, give me a new one. Come on, give me a new one. There's nothing wrong with the old songs. We do them every now and then here. We'll put like an edgy guitar riff in there to, you know, spice them up a little bit and make them creative, because God likes new things, creative things. This idea of new disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Make new disciples. And he says, I want you to bring people in. I want you to bring people into the family of God. We love when new people come to Crosspoint. We love creating space for new people. God likes that. That's one of the reasons we began the early weekend service on Thursday nights, because, you know, we've been wrestling with this idea of traditional time slots on Sunday morning, even Saturday night, that a lot of churches do. We've just discovered a lot of people are interested in connecting with God at church. They just, you know, have to, you know, DIY projects and travel and work calls them out of town, and they have to go to family events and sports travel teams, and all of a sudden it's like, man, God kind of, connecting with God kind of goes down the list. I'm like, what if we create a new option? Hey, what if we do something before the weekend starts so we can connect people? And it's brand new. I mean, it's still getting traction on Thursday nights. It's pretty cool. I mean, I really love Thursday nights. Some of you don't even remember that it's there. It's like a plug. You know, hey, we have Thursdays in case you can't make Sundays. Julie and I, we were gone a few months ago over a weekend. We were taking a weekend off. One of the newer things we're doing is, you know, getting away as a couple times a year. And so it was one of those weekends. And I was here Thursday evening and just sat in the back. I wasn't a part of the service up front. And I got to be like you, a normal person, and just watch and participate. And then I did a little coaching with the team afterwards. But we got to the weekend, and we woke up on Sunday morning, and we walked out to the pool. We were down in Florida, you know, it was warm in the middle of February. It was awesome, you know, to be able to do that. And we're sitting next to the pool eating lunch, and I said, oh man, Crosspoint's just getting out right now. And I kind of miss being there. We were in the Big Faith series, and I love the Big Faith series. And I love being away, but it was like, I just love being at Crosspoint. And then it hit me. I'm like, oh my word. We were there. We were there Thursday night. Here we are, 1,000 miles from home, and we didn't miss a sequence at all in how God was growing us and what was happening with the tribe here at Crosspoint. It's very, very cool. In fact, for some of us, as we head into summer, maybe that's one of your next steps. It's actually listed on your connection card. Maybe you need to just make Thursday like your service of preference, because you know you got travel sports coming up and you're going to be away a bunch of weekends. And your thing is, you get to summer and you kind of check out a church for the summer. Hey, why don't you do a new thing this summer and say, hey, I'm going to commit to Thursdays. You can decide right now. Say, I'm going to make that a priority so I can stay connecting and growing in my relationship with God. Then there's this idea of new wineskin. Julie and I were at a fundraising event recently and had a glass of wine, and they twisted off the top of the Chardonnay and poured it. And I thought, oh, that's like cheap wine, right? Fundraising event doing cheap wine. It's like when you're in college, you know, you had twist off wine when you didn't have any money. It's like $2 chuck, right? And then I remembered, like, we're actually trying to preserve cork trees or something. So now twist off wine is a good thing. It's a new thing that's good. And so it reminded me of this whole idea of new wineskin, of how Jesus in his day, they would actually stitch together two pieces of an animal's hide, stitch it together, put the wine in there, and he said, and that was the wineskin, but Jesus said, hey, I'm doing something new. And he said, one of the reasons not everybody's understanding what I'm doing is because you're old wineskin people. Well, what did he mean by that? He means you're just used to the way things used to be done. He said, you know, there's a new thing. I'm putting my work into a new container now, a new structure. It's more pliable. It holds up better in the fermentation process. In fact, here's how he says it in Matthew 9. He says, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the wine bursts, and the new wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. See, Jesus appreciates the old. In fact, the old wine was probably tasted better. It was more refined. And he's not necessarily saying the new is better, but what he's saying is the new is the future. He's saying, I'm coming to put things into new containers because that's where new things are experienced. You know, back on the early weekend service for a moment, I've had people ask me, they're like, is it really working? You think we're going to keep doing this long term? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we're in on it. Because it's a new wineskin. I mean, it's something totally new. In fact, back when we started it, just a few weeks in, there was a young couple that started serving at the front doors, and they were brand new on Thursday nights. And I saw them serve. I'm like, man, you guys are pretty new, aren't you? And they said, yeah, we've never been in church in our whole life. I'm like, wow, you know, tell me more. And so they explained that they got married a few years ago, and they felt like they were so far behind that they didn't even feel like they could show up to church on a Sunday morning because it would be evident that they didn't know what they were doing. So they said, when we saw you guys at a Thursday service, we're like, man, that's we ought to try that out because it doesn't feel like church. I'm like, we ought to try Sunday. I don't think it feels like church either. But nonetheless, you know, this is a new wineskin. Just like the twist-off wine is a new good thing. And listen, this doesn't have any commentary on what other churches, I'm not commentating on what other churches, I'm just saying here, we're trying to do new things, trying to create new experiences. You realize that 7,400 times in the Bible, new is used or referenced in some way, shape, or form. 7,400 times. Maybe you've heard of this idea of the new and filling of the Spirit. You know, Jesus, in his final moments with his disciples, you know, he kind of gave some final FaceTime before he returned to heaven, and he said this. He says, it's actually to your advantage that I go away. He's explaining why he's leaving them, at least physically. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. By the helper, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Think about this. If you've received Jesus into your life, if you've received his grace into your life, you possess his Spirit. His Spirit is dwelling in you. Get this. That's a new initiative. It's only been around for like 2,000 years. All right. The guys we mentioned, Moses, Abraham, Adam, nada, didn't have it. They didn't have that Spirit. You know, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they didn't have it either. This has only been happening for the last 2,000 years, this idea of God putting himself in his Spirit inside of those who are willing vessels. One more, the new self, the idea of a new identity. See, when we receive God, it's not about working our way up to God to be good enough and make our lives look all shiny and new. No, when you receive Jesus, you have to do something that you can't do for yourself, something Jesus did for you. When you receive that, you get a new identity. The Apostle Paul talks about it, and Paul knew about this because Paul originally hated Christians. He was out to snuff out the first century church, and then he became one. He had to change a heart, but he still remembered his old self. And so he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who's he referring to? Anybody who's chosen to receive Christ. He says, the new creation has come, the old has gone. Why? Because the new is here. So God gives us a new identity. Now, a lot of high-level stuff right there, a lot of theological things. You might be going, oh man, Kurt, I'm not sure I grasped all that. That's totally cool. The point I want you to see is God is about the new. He's constant. I just scratched the surface this morning, by the way. I mean, I could spend the whole morning just giving you new ideas that God's about. But I'm telling you this because for your life, maybe you're here this morning, and God's wanting to use this series to stimulate you to consider something new. right? And some of you are like, man, I'm ready, coach. Man, put me in. I'm ready right now. I'm gonna quit my job tomorrow. All right, I'm quitting. I'm starting the new. And your spouse is like, hang on. Let me just tell you, hold your horses. All right, I'm gonna be with your spouse for whoever's with you for a moment. Hold your horses. Don't go quit your job yet. All right, we're like halfway through week one. All right, we got 4 more weeks of this. But see, here's the thing. There's got to be a sustainability process. So we're going to be talking over each of these weeks about how God starts and plants the new, but there are things that begin to get in place so we can actually sustain the new things God is growing. Heard a story a number of years ago about an 8-year-old boy who's walking through a forest and he finds a frog and he puts it in his pocket like any 8-year-old boy would do. And as he's walking through the forest, this frog starts crawling up his lapel and perches on his shoulder. And it's a talking frog, apparently. He says to the boy, psst, hey, kid, kiss me. And I'll turn into a beautiful princess. And the boy looks at the frog and he shoves him back into the pocket and he keeps walking. And a few minutes later, that frog makes his way up to his lapel again and then he says, psst, kid, kiss me. And I'll turn into a beautiful princess. And the boy looks at that frog again. He shoves him back into his pocket, keeps walking. Again, 5 minutes later, that frog crawls up his lapel. He sits on his shoulder. He says, kid, did I hear what I said? Kiss me and I'll become a beautiful princess. And the boy grabs that frog and he looks at him and squeezes him and his bug eyes, you know, pop out of his head. And he says, listen, I'm an 8-year-old boy. I'd rather have a talking frog. And he shoves him back in his pocket. Yeah. Hey, you can write that down. A clean joke from the platform at Crosspoint. There you go. You can use that this week, all right? You know, but there's a lot of, now if he was a 50-year-old man, that would have been a different end. He's like, man, I'm taking the beautiful princess. He's like, you know, right? An 80-year-old man, totally different end of the story, but an 8-year-old boy. But there's a lot of truth to that joke, right? There might be things that we actually have, but the question is, are we putting them into practice? Do you want all the possibilities, all the abilities God has for you? Are there things God is calling me to? So 3 quick bank shots this morning. 3 quick ideas on why new frontiers are important and why we should be trying things we haven't tried before. Number one, new frontiers grow faith. See, you don't need faith when you're doing the same old thing. All right, you don't need God to show up in any unique way when you're just doing the same things you've always done. Now, they may be good things. All right, you got those down though. But God may be happy that you're doing those things, but you don't need God to show up to accomplish them. All right, you need God, you need the X factor when you're moving from what you've known to the things you've never experienced before. All right, why? Because it's the new. You've never been there before, so you don't know how it's gonna go, and there may even be a little fear involved. In fact, if you're newer to Crosspoint, you, in the last like 2 months or so, you may not know that, you know, having a different worship leader here every week is a relatively new thing right now. In fact, for the first 11 years of Crosspoint, we had a guy who's named PJ. He was phenomenal. He led us most weekends, and he was here for 11 years, and then he got a new calling recently to pursue some new things, which we were really excited about because we love the new. And so we kind of said, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to fill this role? And I had to resist. My initial temptation was to just do what we had been doing. Hey, I got to find a guy or a girl to lead us and manage the team and do all the things that he did. But I resisted that. It was kind of like when you were in like senior high or college and you're dating somebody and you always want to have somebody else lined up before you broke up with the previous person so you didn't have a gap. Like I had to fight that thinking off, oh, I got to have somebody else ready to go. So we have a lot of talent. And we talked to, you know, 4 or 5 of the guys that are, you know, have led us at different points. We said, hey, would you be willing to be a part of a 6-month transition team? Were you leading in a rotation? And they were all like, yeah, but we got a lot to grow in. And so, have they not been phenomenal? Holy cow. Van Roberts nailed it. Killing it today. Van, way to go. You know, all these guys, they're growing. But guess what? We're experiencing things that, through them, and they're developing. We're developing multiple leaders through this. And they were seeing things we wouldn't have seen otherwise. Now, I don't know what the future is going to hold. We're discerning right now where we're going to go. We may hire a guy or a girl at some point, or we don't know. We're discerning what God wants next. But here's the thing. When we do things that are new, then we begin to see new things. And there's some faith involved in that, and it grows us. Second thing, new frontiers force focus. They force us to focus. See, when you try something you've not done before, it requires you to focus a bit, all right? It requires different faculties than when you're like sitting on the TV, just couch watching TV, or you're just, you know, kind of mind-numbingly doing the same thing that you've always done. New frontiers force focus. When was the last time you learned something new? You know, for many of us, we can't really remember the last time we were in a learning environment other than when we were kind of, you know, it was like a compulsory at school and we just had to be in it. I mean, what's the new skill or, you know, the new discipline or character trait or, you know, the new thing you've done in your family or your marriage? I mean, what was the last thing? See, I love learning new things. I mean, Julie will be like, you know, she'll see me doing something new. She's like, what'd you do, read a book? I'm like, maybe. Because, you know, I read something, and it's not like I read it and do it, but I'm like, oh, if it makes sense, man, I'm on it. I mean, I've been honing some of my negotiating skills over the last few years. I used to, you know, I loved a vacation, and I'd, like, go onto these sites where I could buy other people's vacation club points and different things, and I found that I was always paying that money out and buying there. So I'm like, what if I, you know, owned one of those and could sell those? And so we were able to buy one a few years ago through an inheritance that we received, And so I've gotten kind of where I'm turning. You know, we experienced some vacation through what we own, but I'm also realizing I can sell those and be a great benefit to other people, but I can also then help fund our vacations more. And I'm taking what I own and I'm turning. I've done the same thing with some tickets that I have. Sometimes I'll buy more than I need and I'll use what I have and then sell the others. And sometimes I'm like, hey, if it's of higher value to you because it's a good game or whatever, then it actually helps pay for what I'm doing. I'm paying less money. I've got, it might be like a, what do they call that? Not a broker, a scalper. I don't know. I mean, I did have a few months ago, I was selling tickets to a guy and he wanted to meet down at a truck stop to exchange the tickets. And I sell them for quite a bit above face because the value is what somebody's willing to pay, right? And so I was a little nervous because I usually exchange things like, you know, here at a Starbucks or someplace. The truck stop was a meeting place. And I said to my assistant when I went out over the lunch hour, I said, hey, if I'm not back in an hour, you might call the police because I might be dead. And she said, what? And I explained what I was doing. I'm like, yeah, I might be dead in a ditch, just so you know. She got big eyes. She didn't know that was a part of the job. And so I went down to meet him and exchanged the cash and was, you know, shooting the breeze. Everything went fine. And I said, you know, he said something like, yeah, I was off the force this weekend. I'm like, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a police officer. I'm like, oh. So I went from worrying about dying to being arrested. Like, I don't know if this is legal. Apparently it is. But I'm just trying to bring benefit to others. I'm bringing benefit to others, but I'm also maximizing what I have. Jesus actually talked about this in Luke chapter 8. He talks about one of three times where Jesus talks about taking something God has given you and using it to create a return, using it to bring a return, investing it. And then he talks about the one guy who didn't. He says, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who is not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So for somebody who doesn't want the new, they just keep wanting to keep it to themselves, God says, okay, that's a wasted resource. I'm actually going to take that out of your hands. I'm going to put it in somebody's hands who will turn it, who will make a profit out of it, who will do something new with it, who will maximize the investment, try something new, and it requires learning new methods. And sometimes you fail. Sometimes I fail when I'm doing, you know, turning, you know, tickets or vacations or whatever. I'm learning in the process, but I'm working on taking things to new places. Crazy thing, when it comes to churches across America, we only think God is in the safe, as Van said, in the old. And God's character doesn't change. His identity doesn't change. His values don't change. I mean, where in the world do we get this idea that to try something new is not a good idea? My wife and I and my oldest daughter, you may have heard, we're going to Africa in about a month. We're going to be there on an exploratory missions trip. And this isn't a new thing. It's a newer thing to us recently. We used to go on mission trips all the time until we started Crosspoint. And this is kind of our mission field. And now we're beginning to get out and say we need to start creating connections in other places and the other side of the world. And the goal of this trip really is to lay some groundwork for future trips from Crosspoint. So you'll have the opportunity to do this in future years. And the group we're going with, we did a meeting with the 13 people we're going, you know, going to spend this week and a half with, and we did a personality inventory, because it's always good to know who you're going with and how people interact under stress and all these things. It's called the Four Tendencies, and it was kind of cool. We took a little survey and then had to share how we came out, and there were four different results. So the first one was some, you know, you could be an upholder where you uphold all the, you know, everybody's expectations, and you have internal expectations. You always try to do the right thing. And then the second kind of profile was somebody who's a questioner, who always kind of follows their own intuitions and expectations, but they question external expectations. You know, the person's always like, well, why would you do that? And how's come you're doing it that way? And then the third one was somebody who's an obliger, who's kind of like a people pleaser, who's always trying to make everybody else happy, but they really don't ever think about themselves. And then the fourth one was a rebel, somebody who just does whatever they want to do, but they're looking, always trying to get out of the box and do things new ways and not follow the old ways. So we're going around the room talking about our profile, and everybody's one of the first three until it gets to me. And I'm like, well, I'm a rebel. I like to do new things, try new things. I usually resist somebody telling me to do things certain ways. And the leaders of the trip go, oh, no. And I'm like, it's fine. I'm following on the trip. I'm just trying to learn. I'll be good. And it didn't really bother me until I was on my way home. And I was processing this a bit with my daughter. She was with me. My wife wasn't able to be there. And I'm like, well, man, why do people always kind of question the character? Be like, ugh, you know, with anybody who's a rebel or who likes to try new things. I mean, if you're somebody who likes to think out of the box, you're probably criticized a lot. I get it. I've been there. Number three, new frontiers, establish the future. Doing better systems, management of systems in your business is not going to grow your business. It might sustain what you have, but it's not going to take you to new places. Doing whatever you're doing in marriage right now just a little bit better is not going to get you to a new place. Right? You're going to have to try something new. You have to apply something totally new that you've not done before if you want to get to a new place. Now, you might keep what you currently have because it's working really well for what you're currently experiencing. It's a great definition of, you know, if you want to know what's working for you right now, just look at what you're doing because it's perfect for what you're experiencing. It's always in the new. It's not systems and processes. Systems and process management, they help you keep the ground you've already taken. See, too often we settle into a settler mentality where, you know, we forget that the new is on the frontier. The new frontier is out in the frontier area. And we're going to look at in a few weeks on how pioneers and settlers are needed and entrepreneurs and sustainers and trailblazers and implementers. I mean, we need all of us. It's just that if we think it's only about getting a little better at this or a little better at that, we're never going to experience the new. And if we think that way, we might be risk averse. In fact, you might be risk averse. I want you to ask yourself, what's the last thing that I did that was new? Where have I taken some new ground in my life? I don't want to judge you. I just want you to ask yourself. In fact, I want you to take out your connection card because that's where a few of our next steps land this morning. You can take this out, and there's a few of them on the back here. You know, I'm really excited about this series because, you know, for Julie and I, over the last 11 years, we've experienced so many new things. And I can remember being in my previous position before we started Crosspoint, and I'd explain what we're going to do, and people were like, what are you going to do? Like, who are you going to do this with? Like, what team are you going to launch this new thing with? I'm like, we don't have them yet. We've got to recruit them. Like, well, and where are you going to meet at? We're like, we don't know that either. I mean, we got to figure out a place. And they're like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I know, you make it sound so bad, you know, but because God put something new in our hearts. And God's been growing us every single year since then. And it's not been without setbacks. There certainly have been setbacks. There certainly have been times where we've failed. I mean, we've had our fair share of those. That's part of progress. And yet, honestly, I can't imagine where we would be if we would have stayed in the old. I mean, honestly, I'd probably be doing the same old things, you know, doing some of the same old religious dogma, albeit true. But I tell you what, I've seen so many aspects of God's personality. I've seen, you know, just his passion in new ways, his redemptive potential in people's lives. I mean, scripture has just popped off the page in new ways over the last 10, 11 years. Because as I'm stepping into the new, I'm seeing how God does new things. And I want all of us to experience that. Not because it's cool or, you know, it's a fad. I want us to get to a new place because I believe that God has something new for you. So I want you to ask yourself, am I taking new ground? And if, you know, where do I need to take it at? What's God maybe prompting me in this morning? Is it in your marriage? I mean, some new things you need to do, try, travel, you know, being more sensitive, certain things your spouse may want to do that you're, you know, they just complain that you're never willing to move on. I mean, what's the new thing you need to do? In your occupational life, are there some new skill sets you need to grow in? Or say, hey, I really want to become more proficient in this, or go after a new position because I think God wants to continue to use me to lead. Well, you know, what is it? Is it with your friend set? You know, are your relationships going deeper? I mean, that's always a great question. I'll tell you what, through Fight Club and some other things, my relationships over the last 2 years have just, I've had so many relationships go to an entirely different level, at a deeper level. It's been, I'm actually really humbled by it. Can you identify a new character quality that God just wants to build into you? You may have some that are really good, but, you know, is there maybe something new that you just need to develop? Maybe it's, you know, being more selfless and less selfish and, you know, maybe it's you know, being more resilient. When you take the punches, man, you're learning how to get up better and keep going. Or maybe it's, you know, forward thinking, and you kind of get stuck in the here and now and paralyzed. You're like, I want to begin to think forward. And see, those don't just develop. It's a very entrepreneurial thing when you begin to develop those into your life. Last verse, Isaiah 43:19. Prophet says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive the new thing God may be whispering in your ear this morning? You know, do you not perceive the entrepreneurial focus he may be, you know, calling you to in your family? Maybe it's adding a child. You know, maybe it's fostering a child. Maybe it's adopting a child. I don't know. Do you not perceive the entrepreneurial focus he's wanting you to think about in terms of a new discipline, maybe in your health or in your fitness or in your finances or, you know, a new character trait that he just really is calling you to hone in? Do you not pursue a new frontier that God may be whispering in your ear? And nobody around you gets it. You talk, kind of like when I told some of my friends about this new thing we were going to do, and they're like, why would you go do that when you got it all right here? Nobody gets it, but do you not perceive that God might be planting a seed? And so I want you to think about, what's my next step? Am I willing to say, okay, God, where's this going to go? Are you willing to talk about it? When you talk about it with somebody, it becomes, you know, really real. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend this week. These are some of our next steps. Maybe it's even saying, Jesus, I want to begin something new with you this week. So take a moment and think about what your next step is today. Maybe it's something off this page. It's totally cool.